First of all, I know that in spite of any preacher, you always release your anointing because you love your people. So in spite of me, you will bless your people because your heart is for your people. And my heart this morning is for your people. It's not for me, Lord. And therefore, Lord, I just commit myself in your hands. And I know it's an awkward place to be, Father. But I ask you to do whatever you want to in our midst this morning because we trust you. So will you please bless the word? Will you bless your people? Holy Spirit, open hearts. Make us understand because your word is there to understand. And that is it. In Jesus' name, amen. So that is always my heart whenever we share the word is to make it simple. Long gone are the days where we need some sort of a well-ordained or, I don't know, high-placed priest to open the word. The word is easy. The word is really actually very simple if you follow normal guidelines. So may this morning just be a blessing in that. So I want to start off by making a short or a small invitation. And perhaps this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If there's anyone in the building this morning that says you came here, but in your heart you are celebrating. You came here with a song in your heart saying, God is good. This has been a good week. This has been a good year. And I know it's not all of us, but some of us, this is the song in our hearts. We say, man, God, thank you that I can be here this morning. This is why I came to church. Just put up your hand. Just put up your hand. So can I ask the guys in this block, about six of you, just come and stand here quickly. Is that fine? Those who put up their hands say, we celebrate God. Thank you, God. That's why we're here. Just stand here for a moment. It will be good. Thanks. Alright. So, next question. Is there anyone in this building that came here this morning and say, God, it has not been easy. This year has certainly not been easy. This week has been difficult. It was month end 2 days ago. It's still difficult. And we came because we need God. We need something. We need an intervention. Please just be transparent. If that is you, put up your hand. Can I ask a few of you, you and maybe you, all you guys, come stand on the side, please. If you put up your hand, just come forward. You stand there. And these guys stand here. So for a moment, let me paint you a picture before I carry on. And I'll work from this side. In any given moment on earth, any given moment, we will always live with two extremes. Those celebrating and those crying out. And it's fine. And I want to say to you this morning, the beauty of church, the beauty of coming together is the two extremes. To have both of this. Because it's easy to celebrate. But it's not so easy to cry out. So this morning I want to activate church and I want to ask you guys, can you move over to this side? Let's make a circle and then one of you take the, you know, take it on you and let's pray for these guys. So this is church. Those strong at this given moment, praying for the weak ones in the same time. This is church. Can you just open some space here, guys? Excuse me, say nie deurkom. Okay, come on. Okay, so can we just close our eyes and we ask him, please pray for each other and make sure that we activate church. Pray for each other. We want to hear you. Pray. Come, pray. Pray for each other. And Lord, while they pray, we pray. We say, Father, thank you for church. Thank you that in any given time, please pray, you carry on. Any given time, Lord, we have hurt ones and we have strong ones. We have weak ones and strong ones. We have ones with the answer and one needing the answer, Lord, and this is church. Lord, because we have this, we all feel safe this morning. This is why we're here. Lord Jesus, we pray as church. We pray for these guys and say, Lord, please intervene. Please activate your blessing. Please uplift these people. And may your love come quickly. Quickly. Thank you, Lord, for these prayers. Thank you for hearing and doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Kom ons gee net vir hulle 'n hande klap. Sê, thank you for being transparent. Thank you for being transparent, guys. Okay, julle gaan sit. Kan ek vra dat jy gou daai DVD-klip speel? 30 sekondes, kyk gou en luister net wat dit sê, asseblief.
The earth travels around the sun. It takes one year, for the earth to go all the way around the sun once, one time. And because the earth is tilted, sort of like a spinning top, parts of the earth get more heat and light from the sun at different times of the year. You see? Spring and summer, fall and winter.
Can I make a comment out of this? At any given time on the face of the earth, right now, somewhere, there is a season of summer. And I mean physically, on earth, there is summer. We're in summer. But at this given time, we have people in the midst of winter. Snow, up there north. In any given time, we have summer, we have winter, we have autumn, and we have spring. And this is probably a revelation, all depending on your position. So whatever your position for this given time will actually take you to a specific season. And in that, I just want to focus in this morning. So there's a scripture in Genesis 8:22 that says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So let me make a comment out of this. I believe in when it comes to earthly seasons, the season you're in, the season is all related to earth's position in relation to the sun. Is that true? The position of earth related to the sun gives us the season. In a spiritual season, it all depends on the following: your position in relation to God and everyday life. That is it. And because we're all in a different space with God this morning, and because we're all in a different space when it relates to everyday life this morning, not one of us are in exactly the same season. We sort of group these guys and these guys together, and let's say it's summer and winter, but it might just be spring and autumn, I don't know. Yet we're all in different places because relation to God. So it's all about the positioning. So I've seen in life, coming from, maybe, let me just fill you in, just to break the ground, make common ground. Years ago, I was a drug addict, okay? 5 years, hardcore drugs. And out of drugs flowed every single thing. I mean, whether it was alcohol, whether it was sex, whether it was theft, whatever it was, I had a bad life, really a bad life. But I've journeyed with God in the last 20 years, and I've sensed certain things, and I want to make a statement this morning saying the following. Sometimes in your position is meant by God to be like a takeoff ramp into the next season. Sometimes your position is an open door to a next opportunity, but yet to you it becomes an entrapment. Sometimes a season was supposed to be very, very short and it becomes a long season. Sometimes we were supposed to step out of it quickly, and we chose to encamp there and just stay there. I've seen it in my own life. The question is, and the difficulty is how to evaluate this moment that I'm in. How to understand it, to say, Lord, this is what I experience. So what is my next step? Because as it is, we have people in this building saying, I couldn't pay my bills 2 days ago. And we have people with the potential to pay all your bills, maybe sitting next to you. And how do I understand the season? Because I will show you this morning that through all seasons, you have to journey. No one will ever live in summer forever. But luckily, no one will ever live in winter forever. All right, and that is a big thing this morning. So I believe only two positions, or only two reasons for two specific positions in life. And that is it. I don't think there's any other for a child of God. So if you sit here this morning, say, you know, I've accepted Jesus somewhere along the line. I'm not perfect. Just last night wasn't perfect. But I know God, so I'm a son or a daughter of God. So this is for you. Number one, The first reason for your current position might be God's sovereign allowance. And secondly, it might be God's sovereign will. It's either one of the two. So perhaps let me explain. Sovereign allowance. I believe sovereign allowance is when we make decisions out of God's will. Let me make it easy. You make a decision before asking God, before spending time with God. You enter in, and once you're there and it's difficult, then you start to pray. So we choose and God has to bless. We choose and God bless. And oftentimes we find ourselves at a specific place. Why? Because of God's sovereign allowance. A picture out of the Bible is exactly when Israel called out through Samuel. He said, Samuel, you know what? We're done with judges and we're done with the prophets. Give us a king. So Samuel said, you know what you ask? And God sent Samuel back. He said, guys, you don't know. King's going to be harsh. They said, we want a king. And they said, we know the king. We see him standing there. He's about a hair taller than the rest. We want him to be our king. And that was King Saul. And what did God do? Because the nation asked, without asking him, he allowed. That was sovereign allowance. What was the end of that? God always intended David to be king. But he gave the people's choice. The end of that was a fall of a king and a fall of a nation. Not forever, but only a season. So we could build a picture again. You see, so oftentimes we venture down the road. We make decisions and then we ask God to bless. Might be that you're here this morning because of decisions. And believe you me, I've made many wrong decisions. And God is graceful to help us. So when it comes to sovereign allowance, it doesn't mean God is not with you. It means He is there. He's the one. And He allows because of His patience and because of His sovereign plan coming ahead. The second possibility is God's sovereign will. So sometimes I do everything right. I come to church. I love Him. I pray. I do whatever I do. I tithe. I do it. And then I find myself 2 days from month end and I cannot pay my bills. I ask the same question. God, why this? Sometimes, even though you did all the right things, you had a specific place. This, I would say, is God's will. It's sovereign will. So in any of these two positions, I see God's hand strongly there. Either He allowed or He put you there. And we have to understand it. Both sides, I had a role to play. On the one side, I did my own thing and God stayed with me. The other side, I did all the godly things and God stayed with me. So can we just settle this? We, as a church, are in a position this morning. Whether you made your own decisions or God placed you in a position, but God is all in this picture. Okay. So, seasons will never cease to happen. We are placed in it by God. Hear this thing I just wrote down. It says, ripe fruit is only possible because of repetitive flow of four seasons. And we have to go through all of it. So, you cannot be fruitful in your life. You will never have enough fruit to multiply, to be a multiplier, to be a kingdom player and make impact in your family if you don't go through the preparation phase. And the preparation phase is four seasons. So guys, in the summer, autumn will be there. And I'm not cursing this morning. I'm telling you, this is how God says all seasons will never cease to happen. So summer will be followed with an autumn. It will be followed by winter. But winter, thank God, will always be followed by summer. And that's a good thing, and that's a good story. And yes, so we have to understand why we're in a specific season and what to do with that season. Is that fine? So I looked at four seasons. I looked through scriptures and I took own experience. And then I wrote a few things about seasons. And I want to ask you, that as I read the season, you know, the attributes of a season, see if you can place yourself currently in one of those. Listen to the season coming, and then it might just bring hope because something is developing. Maybe just recognize some of these seasons in your history, and then think of your future and what might happen. So I want to start with spring. We just came out of spring. We're right in summer now. But you know, for about 3 or 4 years, we didn't really have a spring in the Vaal Triangle or in our country. It was winter, 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 all of a sudden summer. But spring is a beautiful season, and we had a beautiful spring this year. And what I wrote down, I said, spring is a season evident of new life. So you're not really in the new life yet, but you can see new life. It is a season of new hope. It's a season of enthusiasm, visible, and it's a season of visible new opportunities. It's bannered by optimism. So if you're there this morning, you see, man, it's been difficult, but I can already see a door opening. I can feel it. I sense it. I see new life. I feel optimistic. I came with hope this morning. It is probably a spring season. Spring will always be followed by summer. My definition of summer, this is a season of bearing the fruit. So the fruit developed, started in spring. Now it's your season of bearing the fruit. It is a season of seizing the opportunity, not just seeing the opportunity, but now I'm stepping in and I'm taking hold. This is what a summer season is. This is the season of advancing, making bigger, growing my territory, filling up my bank account. This is the season. You know, it is a very productive season. It is the seed production season. It's making of money. It is the all systems go season. Some of us might be there now. Whatever you put in place, it just works. I go there, I initiate, it works. Finances are coming in. My relationships are working. I can feel like God is uplifting me and I work from a different place. This is a wonderful place to be. We need those seasons. These are the times when people just flourish and they bring hope to other people because they can see hope in their lives. But then comes autumn after that. And autumn is not a bad season. Let me explain it to you. Autumn is the very season that follows the summer season. I sit with all the fruit. I've gathered the fruit of summer. So it's not a bad season. I might even have a full bank account. I still have my whole resource center. I have everything I had in summer. But now I have to make decisions of investing and reinvesting for sustainability. So all of a sudden, the economic environment changes. The dynamics of my family changes. Whether it's health or whatever, something kicked in. And now I have to say, God, what do I have? How do I step into the season and invest and reinvest so I can reach the next summer season? It's a time of wisdom. It's a time of understanding. It's a time of being with God and knowing. Okay. So autumn is to have to make decisions of investing and reinvesting for sustainability. It's a time of multiplication. Because the word says, unless the seed falls to the ground, if it abides by himself, if it doesn't fall to the ground, it will abide by himself. But if the seed falls on the ground, if it falls in the difficult time, it will multiply. So you see, in summer we have the fruit on the trees. If we don't harvest them, what happens? They fall to the ground. So the real multiplication is not in summer. It starts in autumn. Why? It falls to the ground. The seed reaches the ground. And then comes the winter season. It's followed by the autumn season. This is a season of foundational growth. This is a season of deepening the roots. It's a season of strategizing. It's a season of realigning my life. It is a season of refocusing and purification processes kicks in. It's a season of building lasting relationships. So if you this morning find yourself in a winter season, winter seasons will always stop somewhere. And they will be followed by a summer season. But we have to understand, my friends, we have to embrace the season. Because it's probably the only season that you will have time to realign. To rethink, to redefine in your mind, to take a checklist and say, God, where am I? Where am I going? It's a time when we shoot roots and when we become strong. But a lot of times we enter the season or we exit a winter season and all we did was we kicked against it. We resisted. And now we find ourselves in a new developing season, but I don't have identity. I don't know who I am. I have no plan or strategy. I'm still the same guy than 2 years ago. And now I sit with what God wants to give, but I can't do anything with it. We often say relationships are built on weaknesses, not on strengths. So the winter season, when it's difficult, is when you build relationships. The guys encircling you in a winter season are the guys that will stick to you for all your life. The guys that go with you, that will go with the flow in the summer season, will probably dissolve or disappear in the winter season. So what do you do in a difficult season? You build relationship. You hang on to each other. because this will sustain you for the rest of your life. So I think the most profound season in preparation and growth is winter, not summer. You have to hear this. It's winter, not summer. Just recently, this year, can I quickly tell you, and maybe you can identify, we had a 5-year process of walking alongside a mother with cancer. And that was in and out and difficult, and a lot of you know cancer. You know it in your family, you perhaps know it in your own bodies. It's not easy. Eventually, the end of the season was the passing of my mother. She went to be with the Lord. But in that same season, we had a dad that he was in a motor car accident. And he was in ICU in a coma for 3 months. We had to help him to walk and to talk, and everything had to be rebuilt in that same season. I would say it was a winter season. And then just when he was fine, he was diagnosed with cancer. So now we had two grandparents with cancer. So the end of this is mother died. The very day that mother died, the results came of dad. Dad is now clean, 0.0125 cancer. So we have the dying and the living, the difficult and the good. And just when we thought everything is going well, on the 27th of March this year, we did a building project at our church, and my dad did some of it. He was on our roof, and he fell. Remember, he has broken his neck before. He fell from a 7-meter roof. He broke his skull, his neck, his back, his shoulder blades, all his ribs, his pelvis, his elbow, his wrist. He punctured the one lung and bruised the other. It was impossible for him to live. I said, God, come on. Come on. Is this winter? What now? We just thought we were moving into summer. Now it's winter again. At the backside of this, we reassess and we say, God, what happened to our lives? And today we can testify, other than just the miracles we saw of God saving my dad, he's still alive, he's walking around, he's driving, he's living. The other thing is, he is definitely and assuredly serving God. It was a time of realigning, rebuilding. So as a family, we can never discard that season and say, because I believe my son, my daughter, my wife, all of us are formed. We were formed by that season. Oh, we will never see life the same again. So my question is, how do you see winter season? Guys, you guys that stood here, how do you see it? Is it just a season of rebellion and of kicking? Or can we maybe open our hearts and say, God, maybe you're busy. And we're saying that, I don't say it's easy. I don't say it's easy. I know it's not easy. So if I want to see a winter season, and how do I work through a winter season? I believe the best place to go, Luke, is at Jesus. Because in Luke 4, we see Jesus being led by the Spirit to the desert. What is a desert? It is a winter season. And I saw 4 profound things that Jesus did in that season that will probably help all of us when we are in a season, how to go through a season and how to work with it. So, Luke 4, 1-2 say the following. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing. And during those days, and at the end of them, he was very hungry. Can you identify that it was difficult? Although Jesus was man and God, it wasn't easy. He was hungry to a point of almost death. But what I see is, I ask myself the following questions. Do you think Jesus planned to go to the desert? Absolutely not. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the desert? Absolutely not. Do you think Jesus was supposed to go to the desert? Absolutely yes. Why? He was led by the Spirit. So let's settle one thing. A lot of the seasons you find yourself in, you are in because God led you there. And if I resist that season, what do? I might just kick against a move of God. And I'm telling you, all great moves started at a difficult place. You speak to any CEO of a company, you speak to any, go wherever you go, do questionnaires, go do your research. All great moves of God start somewhere, and was normally a desert place. So I say, God, please help me. Please help me not to resent. Please help me not to rebel, but take it and embrace it. And maybe see what Jesus did in this. So four things. The first one that I saw, and it is found in just the next verse. Maybe just this before I go there. I missed this for a moment. The big test of any season, especially desert season, one of two things. Number one, perseverance. And number two, shortcut. So perseverance takes us through a season to God's spot. A shortcut takes us quickly out of the season, but it's also the shortest cut back into the season. Because shortcuts goes in circles. Because you will keep on entering the same season until you complete the season. Where perseverance takes you through into the next season, so that the competitive or the current flow for seasons can keep on going. Alright, so the first thing is the big major test. Guys, if it's difficult, are you looking for the shortcut? Are you going to turn around? Are you wanting the old days, or will you press on so that God can start to work with you? So the four things is, number one, I found in Jesus' life this. He says, paramount to Jesus' success and work ethic was alone time with God before the rush started. You know, Jesus had a lot of success. And he had a work ethic, man. I see him on a boat, and at the other side, when he gets there, there's people, and he had to minister. And then there, people, and he had to minister. He just never stopped. He had a work ethic. He did many miracles. He is the King. Yet there was something profound out of him, and it comes out of this statement. In verse 4, he says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Let me quickly take you on a journey. 20 years, my 20 years journey with Jesus. I've tried everything. I've tried moments when I still worked in Midrand, where I spent the 2 hours in my car talking to God and just see traffic and focus on traffic, but also focus on God. And I used to say, guys, this is my time. This is time of God in the traffic on my way. It was wonderful time of God. But I saw out of that season, it couldn't be the time with God, because I was always focusing on traffic. And God, I went through times where I said, man, I'm not spending specific time, but I'm always in worship music. Man, wherever I go, I have worship and I sing, which is fine, because in our praises, God come and dwells. But I found out there was no substance. There was no foundation. There was no rock, no anchor, and just the worship music. Then I went through times where I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and said, God, if I can just speak and hear your voice. I came to the other side and said, prayer was excellent. And it's probably one of the best things we could do. But where I just didn't have an anchor. Because I started praying out of my head. I prayed out of my heart. But the substance was gone. I got to a place where I say, I cannot navigate life without the Word of God. Without the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, whether you're young with Jesus and a long time with Jesus, one of the most familiar systems that will kick into your life is to do this with the Word for moments. To say it's fine to take the Word once a week or twice a week. It's fine to just open and maybe God will speak out of a specific verse. But I want to encourage you this morning. I'm now at the place in the last season of my life, not my life, but this season up to where I am now, that I know spending enough time in the Word in a simple way, reading, highlighting, taking what I can applicate, praying, speaking to God, and do it every day, and following it through in months, and see what God says, bring substance to every single day. And I want to encourage you, if you don't do that, you will keep on feeling the way you feel. But if I go into the rushed life, and I hit the first meeting, and I have problems, and I have a fight with my wife, and the teenagers troubles me, and the sickness, and whatever, but I've spent time in the morning, I have substance. I have a calmness. I have clarity. And I don't have to react. I can respond from the Spirit. Because the biggest problem is, if you don't have the substance, you will react with a quick solution, a quick opinion, and it will take you in the wrong direction. So Jesus said, not bread alone. The next thing I saw out of his life is, through all desert seasons, the focus should be growth in God, not the desert. Growth in God, not the desert. You keep on focusing on things around you and you just disappear in the load. But you focus on the growth. Say, God, if it's another day, it's another day. I want to grow. What can I do today? What can I do that will uplift my spirit? And sometimes it's as much as stop next to the highway and change the tire of someone. Push a car out of the way. Carry the bags of an elderly lady in the parking lot. Taking the car guard and pray and hug him and encourage him for the day. Something small in the day and it lifts my spirit and I can carry on. But focus on something good. Focus on God in you. Focus on your growth path and forget for moments of the other things. Because I know there's more than enough negative things every day to focus on. More than enough. Can I give you a statistic? A neuroscience statistic, not in the word, but it confirms the word. God says renew your mind daily on the word of God. Why? Because he wants our minds on the positive stuff, which is the gospel. Neuroscience says the following. Says that if you want a good, positive outlook on life, you have to have or entertain at least 3 positive thoughts to 1 negative per day. And whether it flows out in a comment or attitude or just a thought, this is the ratio. They say that if you want a positive marriage, you need a 4-to-1 ratio. 4 positives in the marriage compared to 1 negative. And they say if you want it in disciplining your children, it's 5 positives to 1 negative. Now you see, how many times are we negative with our children, with our spouses, husband, wife? We keep on saying, it's easy to be negative. You know, they made a research and we know now that the word don't is not registered by a child's mind up to the age of 12. Because we program them with this word, they just block it out. We're supposed to do the positive things and they will be guided by that, not all the negative things. So why do I say this? I say, don't focus on everything around you. Last Saturday, I did a marriage ceremony, and just after that, when we had a conversation with drinks before the time, I entered myself into a conversation with 4 business guys. And past us was a small stream, and it had a smell. And the one guy said, this smells because it comes from the Vaal River. And you know what happened. The next thing was the municipality, and then the government, and the reasons to the river. I had one of 2 choices. I could either just keep on saying the same things, or I could intervene in the conversation and say, guys, okay, we have 1 of 2 choices. We go with that, we agree on that, we leave this place negative, or the other side is we choose hope. And if we can't respond with hope or solution, let's stop it, man. Let's enjoy the night. And they just looked at me like this, and I wasn't the good guy in the conversation. And I had to come up with a solution. The solution is, guys, we can moan and groan, nothing's going to happen. Let's quickly grab hands. Let us pray. And then we settle this deal and we carry on and we enjoy the night. And we just dismantle the whole conversation to focus on the good stuff and not the bad stuff. That was Jesus's, you know, tactic. Lord Jesus, he answered, it was written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Focus only on Jesus. 3rd point I want to make is, do not try to manipulate God's hand or minimize his heart. I want to say, guys, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is number 1, very expensive. It is the best you can get. It's the most holy. I mean, just to say the word of God, to move closer, to be here this morning, is holy. But what I find is when it goes well, we move away. And we drift away. When it's difficult, we come back. So we minimize the heart of God. God's heart was never for us to go and to come back, to go and to come back. His heart was always to say, come and stay. Just do it, man. Keep it. Sustain it. Come. Don't make it small. But the other thing is the manipulation of God's hand. God, if you do this, I will do that. Sometimes we put money in the offering because God, if I give, you will give. Don't manipulate God's heart. God, I will stop drinking. God, I won't, because God, if I do that, you will save my marriage. No, God, I will stop this because I feel so sorry for the hurt I put on my wife. It's a different take on it. So I want to say, if we take God and we use God for our own benefit, it is not selfless. But if we take God and we find God and it's for the use of all those around us, we take the spiritual authority we get to benefit all those around us, then we're in the right space. So please don't manipulate or use God for yourself. Let's use him or worship him for the kingdom. And then the last point in that, Let me first read you the scripture. It says in verse 13, when the devil had finished all his tempting with Jesus now, he left him until an opportune time. I hear one thing. He didn't go and stay away. He was immediately planning his coming back. He was immediately planning his revenge. So what the devil does is, he comes and he attacks. And when we're most vulnerable, he plans his attack to come back. So it's always a cycle. He keeps on doing the same things. We can see him. We can recognize him. But he keeps on doing it. Okay, so let me show you one thing. And let me go back on this. I believe the most vulnerable place ever for the enemy to come in is isolation. So what is isolation? This is when it's difficult. Instead of coming back to church, instead of coming back to a family, instead of being transparent and hanging on to friends and hanging on to God, what do? Because of our hurt, we're moving away. And we start to isolate ourselves. In marriages, man, what do? Guys, because we don't want to cry, we don't want to be vulnerable, we don't want to open our hearts to our wives, we become silent. And in our silence, we move away. And in 3 years' time, you find your wife and there's no connection and she doesn't want you and you sense that there's no love. Why? Because you started isolating in your emotions. And this is when the enemy attacks. This is why we see divorce upon divorce upon divorce. Because in our marriages, we isolate. In our relationship with our children, we isolate. In churches, we isolate. And if the pastor doesn't call me and if the elders don't call me and if they don't call me back, I just disappear because they don't love me. No. It's your responsibility to come back. They can equip you. They can pastor you. But you come back. And can I finish this point by saying, all the men in this place, we have a huge role to play when it comes to marriages, when it comes to children, when it comes to community and kingdom life. And if we keep on running the isolation card, if we keep on running to the place where we go into our nothing box and become quiet, die stil stype plek. En ons vrouens moet maar wonder hoe gaan dit met ons. Then we just create more of the same. Children won't do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you doing. And if this is the way you handle your wife and your children, they're going to do the same. And we just create a very difficult environment. So the way through a difficult season is to lean in. Lean into God. Lean into your spouse. Lean into friends. Hang on to each other until it's well again. All right, so let's sum this up for a moment. We will all go through desert seasons. Can you agree with that? And I'm not negative in saying that. I say, sir, you will go through a difficult season. You will go through a difficult season. We all will go. But I believe this is, to me, probably this most profound statement from God. It says, then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and yours and their wives. Meaning, it was the rainy season. It was a difficult season. The one that decided to open the door of the ark, the one that said, this season is over, was who? Was God. And what I've seen is we just never know where the threshold lies. There's a specific place. Everything feels the same. Then there's this blurred area, and then all of a sudden I find myself in a difficult or different space, maybe a good space. It's now summer or spring after winter. But unfortunately, not one of us in this building knows where the line, the crossing over lies. Sometimes the line is half an hour later. Sometimes it's 3 hours or 3 months or 3 years, we don't know. But the most people have the biggest problem why they turn around before they reach the threshold. And only God knows the threshold. So I want to encourage you, whatever your season, keep going flat out in it. Keep embracing God. Lean into it because the next will and the next will, but with God, it will be safe. In science, we see the following. We see that a mother plant can, by means of specific enzymes, release a seed into the ground, okay? So the fruit falls with the seed with specific enzymes. And these enzymes can protect the seed from germinating because if the seed falls and there's maybe just someone just spilled some water and it can quickly germinate because there's moist, but it's not the season. So the mother plant protects the seed not to germinate too quickly so that in the right time it can germinate and bear fruit. I believe exactly the same in the spiritual kingdom. Because the word says Jesus was the first fruit of the Father. I believe we are the seed of the Father. coming through Jesus. So God sows us into this kingdom. God sows us into this earth. We find ourselves in specific seasons. We cry out, we want fruit. God, we want this multiplying season. We want the abundance. But there's a specific enzyme through the Holy Spirit that God puts over you. So that when He releases the season, when He opens the ark like in Noah, He knows it is the season, and when He now takes you out to bloom and to blossom, it will be the season of much fruit. And nothing from outside will take away your fruit. Your fruit will be enough, not just for you, but also for people around you. I don't know of you, but I much rather stand back and sit back and say, God, You choose the seasons of my life. Because I will enter into summer seasons all the time, and I will just waste that which You want to bring. But I want to make peace with what You are giving me. When Simon Peter and those guys, they were busy fishing. What happened? They were busy for the whole night. They didn't catch anything. Then Jesus comes with one word. He says, change your strategy. Throw on the other side. And all of a sudden they caught so much that they had to call the other boat and say, come help me. Come help take this fish out. So I want to say that one word of the Lord can in a moment change your season forever. Yet we don't know when the word comes and where the threshold lies. All right, so in saying that, I believe there is an anointing this morning to just for a few minutes, we still have time, minister into this. Because the first thing I have in my heart is this, is that some of us sitting here have made decisions on our own. And we will keep on, you know, carrying these decisions. We feel guilty. We feel the shame on our shoulders. Our family, they help carrying this because it was our decisions. And it seems like we battle with this. And the first thing I want to pray for this morning is if you sit here and you say, I see the effects of my decision making in my close family, man. I see it in my friends. I see it in my business. I see it in my church. And God, I don't want to live with this fear and shame and guilt anymore. I want to be free. Then I want to pray with you. It's as easy as a prayer for God to initiate the process so you can come out and journey in a different direction. So it will be good if there's anyone here and you open your heart, you say, but this is me. I've made decisions, but I want to just leave it here with my friends this morning, with Jesus. And I want to go a different direction. So if it's you, say, God, I'm done with this. It's my decisions, but I want to repent and carry on. Put up your hand. I want to pray with you. And if it's easy, just quickly stand, because I want to pray with you. Just stand up. So just where you are, just stand up. And stand up. And so the brothers and the sisters in the house can see and can testify. Because when we make decisions, we want the world to know, man. So hold me accountable. It was my decisions, but from now on, I want God's decisions. Is that fine? So can we just close our eyes? Let's pray with these guys and say, God, we trust You. So Lord, this morning, You see Your sons, 2 daughters, 3, 4 daughters, and a few sons standing. And You know the journey, Lord. This has not come by surprise this morning. You know what led to decision making. You know the reasoning behind this. But Lord, Father, I know You don't have any resentment. They sit with the resentment. All You have is You want to give more hope and more hope. So this morning, Lord, I want to facilitate the breach between the burden, the shame, the guilt that brings fear into families. The breach between that and the breach between freedom and You. So Lord Jesus, where they stand, I know they cry out in their hearts, maybe not verbally. They say, God, help me this morning. So Lord, may You come graciously this morning and answer their hearts. You say You look at the heart of a man, not the outward appearance. All the ladies, all the men, You see their heart's desires. So this morning I pray, Lord, starting to my left, Holy Spirit, please visit them. Speak into their hearts. Speak into their hearts. Give them the ability when they leave this building, through repentance and just saying sorry, to leave that baggage here this morning at Your feet. I pray Your blessing upon them and say, Lord, will You release them? Even though it's the first step, release them out of this burden. into a place of freedom so that your blessing can come over them, Lord, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit. And next, the next thing I would love to just give you opportunities. Maybe you're the one that experienced seasons and you felt the resentment in your heart because you're in a season and you didn't make the decision to be there. You find yourself in a place and it's difficult and you did everything right. Everything you know of you did right. Yet you sense this and now the still voice started, say, God, did you forget me? Come on, guys, we do it. God, did you forget me? Why is that guy still prospering? But he's doing just his own thing. And I'm doing everything right. Or I try to God and I don't see any blessing in my life. If that is you, I want you to also just put up your hand. And put it up and just quickly stand. Let's pray for this. Because I believe the most freedom I can experience is when I say, God, I agree with the season. It's a difficult thing. And maybe you should hear this. I don't say, thank God for the difficulty. I say, thank God in the difficulty. That's the way out. Because in the difficulty, I can sense either the enzymes of the Spirit protecting me from frolicking now because He's planning something ahead. Okay, or I can feel and sense the growth and I can embrace it and say, I'm so scared this is over and I haven't grown that I'm going to give it my all to be a changed person on the other side. So two things. First of all, I want you to agree with your own mouth there where you stand. Say this out loud. Say, God, I agree with your sovereign season in my life. Is that fine? Is it possible? I don't want to push you. God, I agree with your sovereign season in my life. Let's say it again. And where you sit, because maybe you're in an easy season, but let's agree with this and say we understand it's a flow. Let's say this together. God, I agree with your sovereign season in my life. God, I'm at peace with your sovereign season in my life. Maybe you want to say, God, please give me peace in this season of my life. Can I pray for you? Father, I just want to pray. And Lord, because we don't have your understanding, because we have the understanding of humans, because we are short-sighted, Lord, because we want the gratification now, because the moment we see it and feel it, it infuses us with passion and we can carry on. And yet, Lord, sometimes it feels like it stretches out. Lord, it's like an elastic that we just pull and pull and we don't know when it's going to snap. Oh, Father, but you are gracious to quickly release the tension and bring us back to that place. Lord, because passion is built, passion is created between this very place of the crisis and the picture that we see, the dream, the promise. And in this, from the one side to the other, there's a tension and this is what they experience while they're standing. And it's difficult to agree. But in that, Lord, you create passion. And the moment you release, then the passion will be there to create the difference in the society and community. Lord, I want to pray right now for everyone standing. I have 5 brothers and sisters standing. Lord, I want to make it easy. I want to ask you, may heaven come to earth for them. I want to ask you, Lord, may heaven invite the context of the earthly realm, wherever they live. And we don't want to define it, Lord. We want to say whatever you bring is going to be fine because heaven is perfect. I pray for the perfect in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down. Thank you. If there's any other question, any other prayer request, I would love to pray for you. And then we will carry on with a blessing. Yes? Oh, okay. Can we, did you hear? Is it the sister's daughter? Sister's daughter that's been kidnapped. Okay. You look out after the son, but the daughter is kidnapped. Missing for 3 days. Probably drug connected, drug related, we don't know. That's not the thing. Can we as a family pray together? Let's just agree. And the sum total, let's not make it complicated. Let's say, God, please lift the camouflage and bring her out. Bring her into protection. Bring her in security. Bring her in safety. And once you have that, let's pray for the rest. Father, we as your children come together now. And we say, Lord, this is a difficult season for family. And Lord, some of it is because own choices. And for other bystanders, it's because you are allowing. But in this, you say all things will work out for the good for those who love you. And that we have to see and that we have to focus on. Yet we cry out, Lord, to you. Number one, according to Psalm 91, you say you will send out your angels to protect us, to fight for us. In Psalm 119, we find that you will preserve our life according to your promise and your purposes in our lives. So we want to pray for that young daughter now, that young girl, that young lady. Say, Lord, please preserve her life in this moment for your purposes and your promise in her life and the life of the family. Send in your warrior angels to protect her, to free her up. Your ministering angels into the hearts of those men. And then I pray, like in Jeremiah, I say, Lord, please lift the camouflage of the situation. Release the girl, bring her out, and solve this problem. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we don't have a lot of time, so what I have here is I have a promise that I found in the Word, and I would love to just read this for you. But if you find of it, I want to release it as a promise in your context, wherever you go. So it will be well if you stand up and open your hands and say, God, we want your Word. We want your Word anointed to infiltrate our lives. And so it's not me, it's God's Word, alive and well. So close your eyes, open your arms, and receive this promise, please. So it's all about hope for the new. And can I just ask, do you all still have the will to hope for the new? Are you still there? Do we have the hope to will and to trust for more here in your context? More in our country, more in your family, more in your marriage. Are you still there? So I want to release this into your lives. It says, but be glad and rejoice forever over what God creates in your life. The season, if I can put it bluntly. Behold, I am creating Jerusalem to be a source of rejoicing and a people of joy. So put your own name. Behold, I'm creating a new you standing there. God says, I'm creating a new in your context, a new marriage, a new business situation. Why? So you can keep on rejoicing. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem, and I will be glad with and in my people. Hear God's heart. He says, I want to create a new environment for you. Why? Because it should be the environment where I can rejoice with you. And I'm going to do it. And there will no longer be the heard of a voice of weeping and a sound of crying. I hear God says when He calls out, the season's going to stop. So some of you are on the very edge of now crossing over and say, God, thank you for taking away my tears and replacing it with the oil of joy. No longer shall there be in it an infant who lives only a few days or an old man who does not finish his days. So whatever is new, God says, I'm going to birth new things, but it won't be birthed and then disappear because hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's going to be new things. I will birth it and it will grow into full fruition. In your midst, if you stick to me, if you agree with the season, if you follow through, it will become mature in your life. Just hang on to God. For the youth who dies at an age of 100, and then the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought of as accursed. God says things will be sustainable. Hang on to Him. Sustainability is with God. They will build houses and they will live in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their own fruit. They will not build and another will occupy. They will not plant and another will eat the fruit. If you hang on to God, the day is coming when the promise will be yours. It will be overly abundant so you can even sow it into the lives around you. And I know we go through seasons where we do everything right, but other people around us prosper. If we hang to God, it becomes our promise, not the promise or their promise. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. And my chosen people will fully enjoy and long make use of the work of their own hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for disaster, for they are the descendants of those blessed by God. Their offspring with them will be blessed. It shall also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Lord, thank you that while we call this morning, while we now praying, you are hearing. You are already multiplying and opening doors. Lord, this is not prosperity preaching. This is your word, saying season will follow season. And for every single person, not one is exempt of this promise that the season will pass. The next will come and hope will come with it. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. So now I bless you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Father, by the grace of Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we open our hearts to you now as the Almighty, the Holy. Jesus, we cry out to you as our Savior, our King, alive and for us. Holy Spirit, we lean into you in our lives, you in our midst. This morning, I want to pray with the church and say, we want to pray in agreement saying, Jesus, by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you lead this people to better places? Holy Spirit, will you be the channel whereby heaven can come to earth? Will you ignite something in every life, in any individual life, that will testify about the goodness of God, even in difficult times? So Lord, thank you for blessing. Thank you for bringing hope. And hope never fails. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. Thank you, guys. This is the end. I don't know, should anyone take the mic or is it done?